Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's gospel from Mark is a powerful illustration as Jesus meets with crowds of people and tries to develop a deeper understanding of the kingdom of God. He tells them parables and stories. He uses parables and stories all the time, and the reality is that they have some influence on the people, but you could see in the faces in the crowd that they were sometimes a little bit confused. It's imperative to understand that Jesus would have a much quieter, calmer conversation with the disciples, a private conversation where he would explain everything about the parables. He understood that the broader crowd didn't always have the ability to really get hold of the ideas and concepts that he was trying to present. But you can. You do. And it's important for me to be able to unpack the gospel almost one verse at a time so that we can explore the meaning and the purpose of each of those in the context 2,000 years ago as well as the context of today. So the gospel begins, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone scattered seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. What does that mean for us? It means that God's kingdom, once placed in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, is growing in us. Our understanding is growing. Our awareness is growing. Our commitment is growing. All we are asked to do is to remain faithful, to read what we can that develops our spirituality, to attend worship in some form or another to stay connected as a community, to pray. And in the midst of the quietness of all of that, the kingdom is growing in us. And the kingdom is growing around us. It's as if we could almost sleep through it. A matter of fact, for some of us, it would be better if we did sleep through it so we didn't mess it up. But we do. We do mess it up. And that's where our action comes into play. Not words, action. How we respond to the world around us. And we'll come to that in a minute. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle because the harvest has come. He's predicting, foreshadowing the coming of the kingdom. Indeed, the return of Jesus Christ, which we all know happens at an unknown time, in an unknown way, with unknown circumstances. That piece is a little beyond our understanding. But what is in our understanding is that Christ will return. And that we are to be prepared, ready, focused. How do you do that? Well, every single day, if our focus is first on God and then on the people we love around us and then on the people we should love around us, that allows us to have that focus. If I can cross-reference and go to the Gospel of John in the 13th chapter at the 31st verse, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's just not just talking, but action. Action in response to situations that happen around us. And we'll come back to that, but not yet. With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The mustard seed. So small I can hardly measure it, and yet it grows into something larger than a house in height. Larger than a house in height. The birds come and enjoy the seeds. It has meaning, it has purpose, and it has substance. The kingdom of God growing in us allows us to have meaning and purpose and substance in order to respond to the situations and circumstances of the world around us as God would have us do. One more time. Just wait. Just wait for it. To return to the passage. As they were able to hear it, he did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything privately to the disciples. Dare I remind you how important it is to listen to the voice of Christ through Scripture? To listen to the voice of Christ through Scripture. To develop a deeper understanding, a deeper awareness of how we can respond when the world around us turns upside down. I need you to know that, like so many of you, when I heard that there were 215 bodies of children found in a mass grave at the location of a residential school, I had nightmares for days. How could anybody be involved in that? How can a world where the kingdom of God that fills each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, how could that world have that experience beyond my understanding? Except for this, I know there's evil. I know that all people are capable of doing things that are wrong. And I know that the influence of evil on some is beyond my comprehension. And we can focus on those who are responsible for the death of those babies, those tiny children. Or we can focus on bringing healing and restoration to the indigenous community as they are today. To take action as a congregation, a community of people that come together in faith and sign protests and sign insistence that our government respond to the needs of the indigenous community as they exist today. The Social Justice Committee of this congregation will be asked to accomplish that task. And together, we will learn more about the indigenous community as it exists today and how we may respond to the incredible loss and suffering that they're going through at this time. But that's not the only issue today, is it? I spent about 7 years in London, Ontario. I grew up in a privileged economic home. I grew up in the West End. I was not aware of the level of crime, prejudice, racism, and hate that must have existed then, as it obviously exists now, particularly against the Muslim community. The death of 4 people and the leaving behind of a child is beyond our comprehension. How could such an event happen? How could someone be filled with such hate that they would take the lives of 4 other people simply because of their religion? We could focus on the person responsible for the death, or we could deliberately and intentionally follow the example of Christ and insist that we respond to the Muslim community with love and hope and prayer and stand side to side, shoulder to shoulder, as they discover ways to heal, to be with them in the pain, to be with them in the fear and the anxiety, and to let them know that no matter what religion or tradition we are, they never will ever stand alone again. That we will do all we can through the social justice task team of this parish to strongly encourage the government to make changes in laws to respond to the situation, but even more, to teach people about racism and bigotry, to equip our children in grade school and high school with the tools they need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and love their neighbor as themselves, and to deal with the rest of a society that is so confused about the Muslim faith that they would go to a point of hate. We need more education, more instruction, but above all, we need a commitment to love each other in the midst of our differences, to love each other in the midst of our diversity. Today's gospel passage talks about the extraordinary power of the Holy Spirit and a vision of the kingdom of God where all people are welcome, wanted, and needed, where all people are invited to loving and accepting relationships, no matter where they've been, what they've done, who they are, that we invite people to walk side by side in mutual understanding and respect. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, be with us. This is not about blame and shame. This is about forgiveness. This is about understanding. This is about respect. This is about clemency. This is about new beginnings through the gift and power of the Holy Spirit, transforming our hearts and minds to do your will. Amen.